Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, as a fan base, I think we're finally getting over that Penn State-Iowa game and the whiteout and everything that came with it. I think the hangover from that is done.
Yeah, I think so. I think it did take a little while, and it was, I think everybody is dried out now as well. And yeah, I think that, you know, it does set up some pretty exciting opportunities here for the remainder of the season. And as I think we talked about on Monday's show, I think this is a team now in a program that has positioned itself exactly where you were hoping it would position itself at the start of the season after four games. The most important thing from the standpoint of getting to where you want to be is that you're 4-0, but close behind that is they're pretty healthy overall. And I think that there's an opportunity here now to spend the next few weeks really honing some things and getting ready ultimately for the two big tests that this season will be measured by with Ohio State and Michigan.
And Jeff, I know I brought this up on one of the shows earlier in the week. I don't know if it was with you or with someone else. However, as Penn State fans, I want to recommend something to you, and that is go find some articles written by Iowa writers or message boards from Iowa. It is fun. No matter what things you may have been disappointed in with Penn State, the coaching staff, whatever, all of it pales into comparison to what you will read what's going on at Iowa. They are just apoplectic after that game, and it is fun to read. So just a recommendation if you want to enjoy yourself. All right, let's get back to Penn State, though. We are now one-third of the way through the season, Jeff. 4-0, that's what was expected of this team, to be 4-0 at this point. But I'm not sure this team got there the way all of us expected it to.
No, but I think at the end of the day, again, the defense looks like it is an outstanding defense, and I think the statistics are just going to get a little more gaudy here in the next couple of games. And so I think Penn State will be up where everybody thought it would be in terms of national stature and national rankings by the time the trip to Columbus occurs. And I think that the offense is probably not exactly what people were envisioning, but I think in some ways they're better off right now than would have been anticipated. And I think the things that maybe are mild concerns right now are things that will rectify themselves here over the course of the remainder of the season.
Well, let's look at first the surprises. I think on defense, we're seeing essentially what we expected. On offense, it looks a little bit different. And I don't know about you, but for me, the most impressive thing might be Drew Aller's patience and his ability to take what's given him, and that the offense, we haven't yet seen much of him going down the field. We know he's got that big arm. We know he could do it. What I don't think we knew is, as a young quarterback, new starter, that would have a guy who had the patience that he seems to be showing.
Patience and I think a real understanding of what it is this offense is trying to accomplish and playing within that. And I do think he deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the way he has played and the way he has managed this offense. And I know people use the game manager term disparagingly, generally speaking, and Drew Aller is certainly much more than a game manager, but it actually is one of the important things that the good quarterbacks are. And you go back over the years, even the dynamic ones, the ones that are really good, they are game managers. They are figuring out how to keep the game balanced in their favor. And Aller has obviously done a terrific job of that. And the team as a whole has done a great job of that. You know, if you ask me, the most impressive statistics still through four games, and there have been a lot of impressive statistics and certainly a ton coming out of the Iowa game, the most important one to me is still the zero turnovers. For an offense to go through four games, and I don't care who you're playing, and they've played some pretty good teams here, to go through four games without a turnover, and yeah, there's some luck involved there, there's no question about it, but zero turnovers, that's going to win you a lot of games, and it's going to keep you in pretty much every game if you have decent talent, and Penn State certainly has more than decent talent. So yeah, I think fans ought to be feeling very good about this stage of the season. That being said, again, from day one, we keep coming back to it, that this season and the success of this year in the minds of most of us, I think, is going to be determined by the results of two games.
Yes. Michigan and Ohio State cast a shadow over everything. This, when you talk about Drew Aller, and you're right, oftentimes when you hear a game manager, that's a disparaging expression. However, one of the things, when you see a style of defense like Iowa's, which is essentially the old bend, don't break, and they want to force you into a mistake, whether it's a turnover or a penalty puts you in a bad position, and all of a sudden, when you're just marching down the field, you end up with third and long, and you have to convert. In most of these 12 and 15 play type drives, there comes that point where the offense does make a mistake. But what I thought was impressive, Jeff, is every time Penn State seemed to face one of those situations, it was like, oh yeah, by the way, we've got a quarterback with a huge arm. So when it's fourth down at the 10-yard line, fourth and one, and I think his first read was a quick 2-3 yard gain, get that first down. It wasn't there. Oh, by the way, I'll just zip it where not most quarterbacks could do it and throw for the touchdown very confidently. It's kind of nice to have that insurance policy when you're just marching down the field.
Yeah, and it's both the decision making and his ability to deliver the ball in whatever manner is necessary to get the completion in a given situation. The thing that has impressed me the most, aside from the zero interceptions with Drew Aller, is the variety of throws that he can make. He has dropped some balls in just over the defender's heads, right where the ball needs to be, with beautiful touch, and he has fired the ball when it has been needed, and has obviously the ability to put all kinds of zip on it. But to be able to recognize and read what is called for in the different situations as a first-year starter and a young quarterback at the collegiate level is still pretty heady stuff for Drew Aller and for this offense to be operating on. And I also think he does a great job of, as you said, making the reads, going through the progressions, and seeing what is there and taking advantage of it. And I think his ability to spread the ball around, and Keandre Lambert-Smith obviously had a huge game here for Penn State Saturday night. He's having a terrific season, but I don't think it's a situation where Drew Aller is getting locked in on any one receiver. And obviously the tight ends, as we expected, are a big component of this offense and will remain so moving forward. But I think as Trey Wallace gets back into the mix here too, again, you've got 5-6 options that you feel pretty comfortable with in terms of wide receivers for Drew Aller to deliver the ball to. And then you throw in the tight ends and the running backs. And again, it is a really difficult offense, I think, to try to figure out how to attack and what to try to take away.
Jeff, for those among our listeners, and I know they're out there, who are always looking for the negative spin on things, don't worry, we'll get there. I want to hold off on that for at least one segment. And while we still have a couple minutes left in quarter one, how about for pleasant surprises? What has happened on the positive side so far this season that you didn't expect going in?
I'm not sure there's a whole lot that I didn't expect, because I thought that the secondary was going to be great. It's been great. The defense as a whole, I thought would be very good. It's been very good. I thought Drew Aller, even though first-year starter and all of that, everything we had heard about his decision-making and his demeanor has certainly played out. The tight ends I thought would be phenomenal, and I thought it was a great combination of blocking and receiving abilities that they bring to the table, and that has played out. You know, if there is a surprise, and again, I'm stretching here to say it's a surprise, because I really thought this receiving core was going to be a deep core, and I thought they could do a lot of good things. I think the consistency, with maybe, you know, the exception of one game, of catching the ball and of having, again, a variety of guys that can step up and make plays for you, you know, maybe would be a slight surprise, but it pretty much, to a large degree, has played out in terms of the positive things from this team. It's to a large degree played out kind of the way I at least anticipated at the start of the season. You know, and if Saunders hadn't had the fumble, I mean, maybe the one other thing is that, hey, the punt return game has been fantastic, and then you had to go and make the one mistake, and it's like, I mean, it's still been very good, and his decision-making has been terrific. But again, I don't know that it's necessarily a terrible surprise. I mean, there's a reason he's back there on a team that is filled with talent. There's a reason he's back there making the plays on the punt return.
Well, I'm good. In asking that question, I was hoping you would have the good answers, Jeff, because I really didn't. And you gave me some time to think about it, and I'm still straining to find the surprise. And I think that's a compliment to the team. So here goes. Let me give you a couple. I think the defensive backs, where some folks have thought, okay, they lost Joey Porter Jr., they lost Tig Brown, they don't have the star quality back there that they did a year ago. Many of us were still confident. Well, guess what? Our confidence, you know, was fulfilled with the play back there. I can't think of a play where I'm saying, boy, did they get beat. You know, you've seen wonderful play among the defensive backs, and you've seen depth there too. So it's not one outstanding player. It's four good safeties we're seeing. We're seeing Daquan Hardy not just covering in the slot, and I'm thinking of that specific play against Illinois where he was one-on-one on the outside and great coverage and the interception. So, and I'm not sure any of those are surprises, which is even more a testament to the quality of this team. All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter one. As promised, I'm going to go negative in quarter two. Stick around for that.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. Along with Jeff Byers, I am Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State football. We've put, finally, Iowa in the rearview mirror. We're going to look ahead to Northwestern a little bit later. But, Jeff, in our review of the first third of the season, we've talked about the players playing well. I also want to point out the work, though, of Manny Diaz and Mike Yurcich. And just two quick examples, one from each side of the ball. I think what makes a coach good is his ability to adjust and adapt and not just force the players and the team to play the way they always do, like, say, Iowa with their offense. And just a couple quick things. On defense, when we saw the three defensive ends in there at the same time and Chop Robinson coming from the middle, again, the creativity from Manny Diaz was obvious. Then on the offensive side, last year we saw the creativity of the T formation on short yardage. Now we've got the quarterback sneak. What I read someone call it the tush push. You got Tyler Warren, and all of a sudden he's taking advantage of the fact that he's got a 6'4", 240-pound quarterback who was made for these quarterback sneaks.
The other thing, yeah, no question that they are doing a great job with that and understanding the personnel they have and putting them in the positions that best exploit their talents and give Penn State its best chance to have success. But I think it is a huge deal, Jim, that they have both coordinators back from the previous year. That has not been a common theme here in the James Franklin era. And listen, Joe Moorhead came in and made a splash, obviously, right away. I'm not saying that you have to have that continuity for significant periods of time to be able to have success. But I think when you have coordinators on both sides of the ball, and by and large, the entire staff back from the previous year, there's just that comfortability both within the coaching staff itself in, hey, I know now how we all work and how this operates and what my role is and how I can best help the program and help the kids. But the kids also now have that trust and understanding. And with a lot of experienced guys coming back from last year, you can add, again, that next level. And you're certainly seeing on the defensive side of the ball. Again, there was a ton of creativity in what Penn State did schematically against Iowa. And I think you're going to continue to see that type of different approach with different games. That's okay, this team, this is how we can best match up here. This team, this is how we'll match up there. And again, when everybody just has that familiarity and understanding, I think it is a big, big part of the equation for why I think this team is going to be successful the remainder of the season.
Okay, Jeff, I promised some negativity, so let's get there, because I just know we have listeners. That's what they're counting on hearing. So let's go down that path. First of all, to the Wayback Machine, prior to the season starting, what were our concerns then, and where are those issues now? For example, always talk about the defensive tackles, okay? Would they be able to stop the run? I get it. Until Michigan game comes up, people are going to doubt. But what have you seen so far among the tackles? At least statistically, it feels like they've done the job.
They have, and this is where I'm really curious to see, because we won't know until you get into those games, but I am really curious to see what Penn State does, what Manny Diaz does more specifically, to alter what we saw a year ago, in particular against Michigan. And I think that's just going to be fun to watch. It'll just be interesting to see how the personnel is used. Yeah, listen, I mean, the defensive tackles, they obviously are six deep there, and I think you feel good about that rotation, and they are bigger, they're stronger. Whether or not they're big enough, strong enough to hold up against Michigan, again, we won't know until you get through that game and see how it plays out. But I think there's some different things they can do this year strategically. And yeah, I think there's clearly been improvement there. Exactly how much and whether it's enough, again, we won't know for a little while. But yeah, me personally, I'm feeling pretty good about where the defensive tackles are at this stage of the season. And again, the good news is you still have basically three weeks to get ready and put the work in for Ohio State, and then obviously a couple more to get ready for Michigan after that.
Remember, though, prior to the season, I think a lot of people were thinking these last two games back-to-back with Illinois and Iowa. Boy, you know, you're going on the road to Illinois, and remember a couple years ago what they did. And Iowa, they always want to run the ball. And I think they passed these first two tests and passed it with flying colors, Jeff. On the other side of the ball, offensively, the concern was the wide receivers. I know you alluded to them a little bit. I'm thinking they still haven't quite sorted things out completely, but a big part of that has been Trey Wallace either missing a game or playing, but not really being a factor, which was the case against Iowa.
Yeah, I would not have thought that his absence would be that big of a deal for this team, but it is one of those things where I think it just everybody then steps into a slightly different role, and it has impacted the offense. I don't think there's any question about that. So I think if he is back to, you know, full strength and health, and certainly you're hoping that's the case this week, but if not this week, you would certainly presume before Penn State takes on Ohio State, you have the bye week and then Massachusetts to get everybody, you know, any bumps and bruises, hopefully healed up and can be, you know, the hope is obviously at full force for Ohio State and then Michigan. And so, yeah, I think overall I feel good about the receiving core, and I liked seeing Cephas step up and, you know, be a little more involved. And I think overall, I think that group is only going to get better. I think the experience that it's gained through the first four games is going to be a big deal. And I think if they can get back to full strength and have everybody in there and kind of the roles that they are expecting and the coaching staff wants, I think that group has a chance to be one of the real strengths of this football team down the stretch.
I think you made a great point, Jeff, about the pecking order, where guys fall. If you have Trey Wallace there and healthy, the responsibilities of the other ones fall down a step. They don't have as much on them. As a fan, I really want to see Trey Wallace there, healthy, playing against Northwestern. I really want to see that. I think, though, from the coaching perspective, you have to look at it, as you said, a bye week coming up, then UMass. If you so choose, you could take the next several weeks and let Trey Wallace get healthy. I'm assuming since he was on the field last week that he's probably capable of getting on the field again this week, but it's how much do they want to put on him? So, all right, Jeff, another area, you mentioned it just briefly earlier, and the question's on special teams. There was going to be a new place kicker. There was going to be a new punter. And prior to the season, I thought an indicator was when they brought in a transfer portal punter and kicker, where James Franklin would say that creates depth and competition. My reaction was, I think that means we're not as confident in the guys we have here. We're now, you know, a third of the way through the season. Where are we on special teams?
I think it is by far the biggest concern right now for this team. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a weakness or that it will cost this team. But yeah, if you're looking at the three areas of football, you feel really good about the defense. You feel good about the offense, and you're like, man, there's been some good things and there's been some concerns here with the kicking game in general. And that now includes the return game. Up until this past week, I would have said the return game, feel pretty good about. And I still, again, the return game I do feel good about, but you've now had a mistake there. But listen, I don't think there's anybody that would tell you that if it's, you know, the Penn State Michigan comes down to a 38-yard field goal with 5 seconds left, I don't know that anybody's sitting there saying, we got it locked, no worries here, right? You're like, we could do it, but we got to see it. So, and the punt game, you know, listen, make no mistake, Iowa has a great punter. It was a 14 and a half yard per punt disparity here on Saturday night. Now the field position game didn't factor that much into this one, as it turns out, but against Ohio State, against Michigan, you certainly figure that field position is going to play a big part of it. And, you know, part of the field position game obviously is turnovers, and you feel good about Penn State there, but getting those hidden yards with the return game, getting those hidden yards with the punt game, Those are big. And, you know, the punting has not been disastrous, but it has not been spectacular. I think he's averaging, it's around 37 and a half yards a punt, I think. And that's from Saturday night. And again, that's not awful, but it's not spectacular. It's not what you want out of a top end punt game. So to me, by far, special teams is the biggest concern going forward.
I'm with you, Jeff. And I'll also talk about Caden Saunders. And this is how things change in 1 week. A week ago, I mentioned how happy I was with him back there, how confident he seemed in making those catches. It never seemed like a threat bobbling it. But I think it's almost more about decision-making. The play, he was not in good position to make the catch on the ball that he fumbled. There was wind. There was rain. I could see the ball going through your hands, but that's the kick. You just back off and don't do it. The other one was, you know, catching the ball within your own 5-yard line. Again, that's the decision-making process. And I'm not sure whatever happened to, you know, put your feet on the 10-yard line. And if you have to go back for the kick, that's probably a sign that you should just let it go. Well, I know that adjusts a little bit now over the last couple of years, but I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be back within your own 5-yard line. All right, Jeff, that is it for quarter number two. We got lots more to go. Stick with us.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking all things Penn State football. And Jeff, finished up quarter two. We were talking about concerns for the team. I wanted to bring up one more item, and this certainly wasn't the concern before the season started, but here we are, four games in, and the question of the explosive plays. And we know that's something that James Franklin had talked about all the time, ever since he got to the program, and he wants to win the explosive play battle. But the team isn't winning the explosive play battles. Doesn't seem to be a huge concern because they're marching down the field. They're winning. In fact, I almost, as I mentioned earlier, I think it's a great compliment to Drew Aller quarterbacking the team. I know he can throw the ball deep and he can do it well. My question was, could he do the other things? Could he make the decision-making process? Could he be patient? He has demonstrated all of that. And there seems to be zero frustrations there. The running game, no explosive plays, but still effective. But what I'm wondering, Jeff, do you think those two guys, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, that they're getting a little frustrated that they haven't been able to break any big plays?
Yeah, I don't know about that because I think they are both genuinely team-first guys. And I think as long as the team is winning and they feel like they're contributing to it, I think they're probably okay with it. It's hard to get inside, I guess, somebody's head. And I also think, to me, it just feels like it is a matter of time, that these big plays are coming and that they'll hit them maybe in a – you're obviously hoping, if you're a Penn State fan, they'll hit them in a couple of key spots in key games coming up. I will be very surprised – shocked, actually, if we don't see big plays over the next two games. I think Northwestern and UMass are pretty good spots to have the opportunity to see some big plays offensively. And get a little confidence, I guess, if they need any confidence in that regard, going into the stretch run of the season and the games that everybody's going to be focused on. But, you know, if you had told me that they would have this few explosive plays to this stage of the season before the year, I would have doubted you seriously. And having seen the way this has played out, I'm kind of with you. And in some ways, it's actually giving me more confidence about what this team is going to be capable of doing down the stretch. If you can put together, and they haven't done it yet, I understand that, but if you can put together a couple of 75, 80-yard drives against the Michigans or the Ohio States of the world and pop a big play somewhere along the way, and you take care of the football, you have the zero turnovers, you're going to win much more often than not, even in those big game situations. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable, really, with where they're at big play-wise, even with the lack of them to this stage of the season.
I'm with you, Jeff. I feel the big plays are there. These are big play people. My bigger question was this team capable of having a 15-play drive, marching down the field, establishing they could run it for 2, 3, 4, 5 yards when they need to? And they're showing they can without making those mistakes. So I think I'm pleased that they're showing it this way. My only take with the players, and I was talking with someone, a former player who talked to me, and he used the baseball analogy of, if you're a home run hitter and you're not hitting home runs, you can get frustrated by that. You may be hitting the ball, you may be driving in runs, you may be getting hits, but you're used to hitting the ball out of the ballpark and you still want to do that. And I sense Nick Singleton really wants to do it. And I don't want to be the team on the other side when that comes together. And I just have a feeling it may be coming together against poor Northwestern. And the last thought on that is, this was against an Iowa defense that a lot of people thought was an elite defense. Not just good, but elite. And they had those long drives against them, which was very impressive. All right, Jeff. James Franklin met with the media this week. A couple things came up. I thought it was interesting when he named the entire offensive line as the player of the week. And it's another one of those situations. When the offensive line does their job, people don't really pay attention to it. Is this a case where we're all just overlooking them?
I don't think so, because it has been such a problem for this program for so long, getting consistent play out of the offensive line. And I will tell you, I'm still talking to fans. And by the way, I'm with them. It's like, yeah, it's been good. It's been fun to see to this stage of the season. I want to see it against Ohio State, and I want to see it against Michigan. And until you do it against those teams, there's still going to be just the question mark about, okay, how much progress has there really been? I do think that they are getting really good consistent play there. I think the depth that we talked about at the start of the season is there as well. I think that is playing out and has come to fruition. I think the tight ends are such a big part of it too, Jim. When you have tight ends that can block as well and as consistently as these guys are, and you go back through the great teams at Penn State, the undefeated seasons, the national title years, the other thing that they always had were running backs that block and wide receivers that block downfield. And this team, you go back and look, and that's what's going to lead to some of the big plays that I do think this offense will get in the final eight games of the year. You go back and look at the way these guys are doing what some would call the little things. I think they're the big things, is again, blocking, carrying through your fakes, all of that stuff, running a route when you know you're very unlikely to get the ball, but running it and get it, taking the defenders with you, all of that stuff. This team is doing consistently very well. And I do think the offensive line deserves a lot of credit for the success that we're talking about with Drew Aller and being able to put these drives together. You're not putting those drives together if you're not getting consistent play. The one thing I do think they still need to work to clean up there is some of the penalties. And the offensive line itself hasn't been a huge problem, but you just, against Ohio State and Michigan, you want to be as close to perfect, and you just don't want to have a false start. You don't want to have a snap that's a little high. You want it to be as clean as you possibly can. And I think, you know, to me, that's the one thing you'd like to see over these next couple of games in particular is striving for no penalties, or at least as close to that as you can get. And in particular here, I'm talking about the offensive line. You could say that about the team in general, but you want to see, I want to see a couple of games where there's, no holding penalties, no false starts, and just a good clean game.
And we talked about it from the Illinois game where those penalties, they caused drives to end. And when you win 31-0, you don't talk about it as much. But there was the middle of the field, the tight end screen with a big gain, called back for a holding, which it wasn't necessary. They didn't make the big gain because of that.
Right.
And that stopped that drive. And I think they also had a penalty with late in the game with Bo Prabula on the field that stopped the drive. So those are the things, you know, James Franklin, he emphasizes those things. And I'm going to do what you've been doing. We'll mention Michigan and Ohio State for the 37th time during this show. You're not going to be winning those games 31-0. So a penalty like that is going to be extra costly. But anyway, mentioning Bo Prabula, and I thought this was also interesting from James Franklin's press conference, and I'm not sure all of us took note of this. James Franklin is playing Bo Prabula a lot. This is a big shift in James Franklin's. Remember years ago, before we even had the Iowa fiasco, it was he'd leave Trace McSorley in there in the fourth quarter, up 30 points, didn't matter. He played that starter to the end. It feels like James Franklin has really learned his lesson and adjusted. But he mentioned he'll bring Bo Prabula in and give him a series with the ones. I think that's another example of the coaching adjustment, the coach learning, and I think that's exceptional that he's doing that. My great fear is we may need Bo Prabula to win a game for this team.
Yeah, and I think it's a great strategy on a couple of fronts. One is now you are forcing opposing defenses to prepare for both, right? Like we talk about throwing little wrinkles into the offense or a different look with the defense just because now the future opponents have to, you know, spend a little time getting ready for that. Well, it is such a different offense with Drew Aller and Bo Prabula in there. And they bring such a different dynamic, I guess more than it's a different offense. It's just such a different dynamic that they bring at quarterback. And yeah, if you're an opposing defense, it is difficult getting ready for Drew Aller and trying to figure out what the best way to defend him is. But when you throw into the mix now that, well, not only do you have to be ready for that, but just in case, we've got to be ready for this running quarterback who can also, by the way, throw it pretty darn well. But it, again, it's a whole different dynamic in there. Again, you're forcing opposing defenses to spend some time getting ready for both of those quarterbacks. And I think throwing it out there that, yeah, there's, you know, you might see this at any time in any game, again, in the back of the mind with the opposing coaches, including, yes, Ohio State and Michigan, they got to spend some time getting ready for that. And whether or not you see it in a particular game, you're having to prepare for it. And again, there's only so much time these guys have on the practice field and even in the film study room to get ready for a game. And if you're the more you're putting on the plate for the opponents to have to get ready for, the less prepared they can be in any one element of the game. And I think that all works to Penn State's advantage.
A couple weeks ago, when the offense was being frustrated a bit by Illinois in that first half, I thought that would have been an opportunity to bring Bo Prabhula in early. I think this weekend playing Northwestern, they shouldn't be a threat. I wouldn't mind seeing Bo Prabhula come in for a series, say, in the first half and get a real opportunity with the first team, Jeff. All right, yeah. That is it for quarter number three. Get ready. We're going to have Jeff's Northwestern preview in quarter number four. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. And Jeff, it's time for our Northwestern preview. You know what? The Nittany Lions are going to go in to see those big, bad Northwestern Wildcats fresh off a win against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Are we looking at a letdown after that big win against Iowa last week? Whiteout, 110,000 people. There'll only be about 90,000 fewer people there, I think, Jeff, for this one. Are we looking at a letdown?
Listen, I do think this is a tough spot in terms of trying to keep that improvement going week to week. I do think this is a tough spot. I don't think it's an especially dangerous game in terms of, this is the game that's going to come up and cost you an undefeated season. But I do think it is a real challenge for this team to again, focus on improving and getting better each week. I think there's a lot of emotion that comes with the whiteout. There's a lot of excitement and anticipation. And then when you come out and play as well as Penn State did, and you make that statement, right? And, you know, the probably the best thing that happened to Penn State is what Northwestern did in the fourth quarter against Minnesota. Because up until that fourth quarter against Minnesota, there was no reason for anybody to take this team or this game anything but lightly. And, you know, that fourth quarter against Minnesota, it's like, well, I don't know how or where this came from because it's not something we were expecting and not something we've seen from this Northwestern team. But, you know, they scored three touchdowns and then they pull it out in overtime and beat Minnesota. And I think that at least, you know, has to get your attention if you're a Penn State player with preparations this week. But I think, again, because of all of the emotions that came with last week, and obviously it was talked about, at least internally, what had happened out at Iowa a couple of years ago, and that was part of what was driving, I think, the emotions Saturday night for this team. And now, yeah, you're going on the road. It's going to be a very quiet stadium by comparison. It is a team that, you know, there's not a lot of reason to be excited about matching up with them in and of itself. And so, yeah, and it's an early kick. I mean, it'll be an 11 a.m. kick out there and a noon kick coming off of a night game. So, yeah, I do think it's a genuine concern about how well can Penn State come out from the start. That being said, I think this is a pretty mature team that Penn State has this year. And I think it is a real focus of James Franklin, because I think they've been disappointed, coaches and players, with how they've come out, even with this Iowa game. I mean, the start was not exactly what you're looking for if you're a Penn State fan or anybody associated with that Penn State program. So I think the fact that Northwestern did what it did against Minnesota at the end, and then the fact that I just have to believe that a huge point of emphasis right now is that we've got to get off to a better start in that locker room. I think Penn State will be all right and we'll come out with some fire here right from the get-go at Northwestern.
I think they will too, Jeff. And you make some good points about, okay, Northwestern had that big finish, and our colleague Andy Shea on a previous show, he called it lightning in a bottle that fourth quarter. And I think that's the best way to put it. I do not think that's who Northwestern is. And I think what was also interesting in James Franklin's press conference, when talking about areas of improvement, he talked about how the team started. And as you said, in the Iowa game, Iowa did get a first down. They flipped field position. Penn State, again, up against the, you know, their own goal line, and they were a little bit limited, but they were three and out, which I'm sure they weren't happy about. I get the feeling that with that point of emphasis, we might see something special in that first drive from the offense, that, you know what, we're not going to have that slow start. We're not going to just, you know, jab a little bit, try to, you know, just get a first down, establish what the defense is doing to us. It just seems like it will be a point of emphasis. So I wouldn't be surprised to see, something big early from the offense. What areas, though, would you like to see Penn State improve on going into this game? Because I think that's the way you have to look at it. I don't believe Northwestern is any threat in this game. So if you're Penn State, what is it you're working on?
Yeah, I kind of joked about it last week before the Iowa game, but the special teams, and in particular the field goal kicking, is a real concern. And again, I'm a little bit torn there because I don't really want to see the field goal unit out there against Northwestern. You ought to be able to finish off drives and get into the end zone. But, you know, that does remain for me, again, by far the biggest concern. And again, it's not that I think Penn State is just incapable and that that's just an area of the game that you've got to accept that they're going to struggle at. It's just that every other area, I have a pretty good degree of confidence that in the clutch, this team will be able to respond. And that's just an area that I wonder about still. So again, do I necessarily want to see that and watch marked improvement against Northwestern? Probably not. The penalties, I think, are the one thing, the one other thing that I think James Franklin would like to really see cleaned up. And I think you'd like to get a couple of pretty clean games under your belt. And again, I don't think the penalties against Iowa, you know, it wasn't an awful situation, but yeah, if there's something that you're wanting to work at and you're thinking in order for us to be where we want to be at the end of the year, I think those guys are saying to themselves, we've got to start playing closer to penalty-free football. And in particular, the ones, as you said, there are going to be penalties that occur during the course of the season, and presumably there will be turnovers. It's just kind of when they happen and why they happen. And if it's a penalty where, hey, I'm trying to make a play at the corner and, you know, it's borderline whether or not I'm, you know, hitting the guy in the back, but without that, my guy doesn't get the corner, I think you live with some of those. It's a holding when you don't need to hold. It's the false starts. Those things just drive you crazy if you're a coach and if you're a player, and you just don't want to put yourself unnecessarily in more difficult positions. So, you know, truthfully, there's not a whole lot that I'm looking for. I mean, in the big plays, I guess we talked about earlier, I just think those are going to come just by virtue of the fact that you're playing Northwestern and then UMass in these next couple of games. But the penalties are probably the one area that I think that as a program, they'll be looking to clean up, along with obviously getting off to a better, quicker start.
Jeff, one area that I'd like to see improved upon, I mentioned earlier about as a fan, I want to see Trey Wallace on the field and being a factor. It might be even more important, though, is if he doesn't play or is limited, will there be another receiver, wide receiver, who will step up and at least give other teams something to worry about? Will we see Malik McClain make an appearance again early enough in the game where it matters? Will Liam Clifford be a target, step up? How about Caden Saunders? I think they need to show that they're more than just Keandre Lambert-Smith at wide receiver.
Yeah, and I think they are. And I think the issue, I think, is going to be in these next couple of games, I don't think you're going to see, I mean, if Wallace is in there, he in all likelihood would be that kind of second guy that is a go-to guy. The thing is, I think in these next couple of games, you're not going to have much of an opportunity for somebody to go out and get 8 or 9 catches, because I think, you're certainly hoping that Penn State has these games pretty well in hand at halftime. And I think at that point, you want to get some other guys involved and take a look at them. So I agree with you that they need more than Lambert Smith and Wallace to be there. But truthfully, I think that they have it. I mean, I know McClain had the couple of drops against Illinois, but I think he is a viable option. Liam Clifford has certainly been, when they've thrown the ball to him, he's been there. I think he is a key component. I mean, I think they have, again, probably 6-7 guys at the receiver position that can, in a given moment or in a given game, be big-time players. And so for me, it's not that big of a concern, and I'm just not expecting, maybe it'll play out differently, I'm just not expecting that you're going to have any single receiver have more than 5 or 6 targets in either of these next two games.
I think you're right. I'm not looking for any of those guys to have 7, 8, 9 catches. What I'm looking for is I'd like to see McClain back on the field and making catches, not when in garbage time with 2 minutes left in the game, but in the first half.
By the way, Dante Cephas, I don't think I mentioned him there, but Cephas is the, if you're asking me who that next guy is that's going to be a key cog in this offense, it would be Cephas. And I think we are starting to see some really nice things from him. I think he's getting more comfortable in his role. And I think that this offense is getting more comfortable with what it can expect from him.
Great point. I miss Cephas, and I should not have. All right, Jeff, here we go. Minute left. Time for your prediction for the game. It's a 27-point spread, by the way.
Yeah, I think this is just going to be a wild shootout, Jim. I have it 52-49, Penn State with the last second. How Northwestern, I think we're going to look back at the end of the season and just continue to scratch our heads at how Northwestern put up 21 points in one quarter against a Big Ten opponent. I'm not sure they're going to, and this is not being facetious, I don't know that they're going to get 21 points in another Big Ten game this season. I really don't. It is an offense that just is not a big threat. And against this Penn State defense, I mean, I think it is possible that Penn State posts back-to-back shutouts in the Big Ten. I'll say that Northwestern somehow in garbage time does get on the board, but I think Penn State wins this very comfortably. I have it Penn State 45, Northwestern 7.
Good call. I had it, 42-7. So we're on the same page there, Jeff. That is it for our show. Everyone enjoy the game this weekend against those Wildcats of Northwestern. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are